You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
A lot of interesting discoveries last night at Dana's house as she was going through this box of old effects. Not the least of which was an early attempt at writing a story.
Oh, or a book. Are you going to make, don't make fun of my sweet little story.
I'm going to share it. I'm not going to make fun of it.
It's my first story I ever wrote, and it's 2 pages and 1 paragraph.
Can I see it?
No, pardon me. It's 1 page and 2 paragraphs. It's a real page turner twice.
It is.
So,
what is it titled?
I'll tell you in a minute.
Okay.
It's called The Package.
Oh, provocative.
Uh-huh. Yeah. By Dana Wright. It was written on, check that, October 7th, 1982.
Yes.
Now, tell everybody, was this for like, for
fun?
Just,
was it a class assignment? I think we had just gotten a typewriter and I was like, I'm going to write a story and then type it. Because it is typed. Single-spaced.
1982, you would have been 8 years old.
I was 8.
Creative juices flowing.
Sweet little baby Dana.
A future
8 years old.
Of writing ahead of you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
One day, Marcia got home from school. And her mother wasn't home yet, so she watched TV.
Mm-hmm.
Soon, she heard a knock on the door, so she went to the door.
Yeah.
Well, my stars, Marcia said. It's the mailman.
Who doesn't say my stars?
I did, clearly, at age 8.
Hi, Marcia, said the mailman. I've got a package for you that's rather large.
Whoa.
So then she opened it, and Marcia could hardly believe her eyes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
While she was putting it in her room, her mother called out. I'm not going to read the next line because it's a double entendre. Marcia dared to tell Mom about the package.
Uh-huh.
Hmm. Interesting. It's a great read.
It doesn't go on for long. It was a bestseller.
Was there a sequel?
I do
there
want to
been.
Clarify one
that
thing.
That the package was large?
Yes, about
what
the
was
package.
The large package?
I don't know, Sam.
I mean, was it a Christmas gift?
Maybe.
It was a big package.
Tis the season. I don't
very
know, Dan.
Something from Italy?
The mailman had a large
okay.
package.
Okay. I do want to clarify something from last
His
week.
His poor back.
I was saying run, do not walk.
Oh, my God.
Run, do not walk for the series, 6 or 7 episodes, disclaimer.
Yeah, we gave up.
Uh-oh.
On it.
We finished it over the weekend.
Is it now a run, do not run away from, do not walk?
Oh, that book must be something because it's based on a book.
Did not
the
know
same
that.
Name. Yes, it is. I will tell you this. The last episode is really hard to watch. Really hard to watch.
In a good way or a bad way?
I thought it was presented as A and that it was going to end up being like B because it's a thriller. What happened? Who done it? Why? Kind of. Yeah, there's a lot. There's a little bit of that in there.
That's how it starts.
I'm saying anything more is going to ruin it. But the last episode, wow.
Good wow?
Did not see that ending coming. Did not see that ending coming. There are multiple warnings when you are watching it throughout. Most of the episodes start and just say if you are upset or disturbed by certain content, like just be warned. The last episode.
They have their own warning on.
Yes, the last episode needs to come with a warning.
So they're adding a disclaimer to the show called Disclaimer that
yes!
you're now adding a disclaimer yes! to because you needed to run Do Not Walk.
So
is it violent? Is it gratuitous sex?
The last one is. The last one is what I would consider to be violent, yes.
4-letter word starts with R?
It's, you know, it's a lot.
Okay.
It is very, very, very well done. I think Cate Blanchett will be up for an award. I know Kevin Kline will be up for an award. I think Sacha Baron Cohen as the husband will be up. You will see this show during the Emmys. It is going to be nominated for multiple Emmys.
Okay.
But just know going in.
Now, we didn't like it very much.
I needed to watch like a comedy right after.
That dark?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just so you know.
Okay.
Just so you know.
I can now certify that I will not be watching.
Ooh, it is dark.
Disclaimer.
The Current got knocked out of the playoffs over the weekend.
I saw that.
So they've got the championship coming up this week. at CPKC Stadium.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Orlando advanced because they beat the Current. And then who are they taking on? Washington Spirit.
Yes.
So, and when is that? That's this weekend, is it not?
I believe that is this weekend.
It doesn't say in this story when. It just says the Pride will now head to Kansas City and face the Washington Spirit in the championship at CPKC Stadium. But it doesn't say what day it is. I think it's Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. But don't hold me to that.
Okay.
So they had a great season. Obviously, the first season in a stadium built only for women's sports exclusively. The championship will be there this week.
Good.
Saturday at 7 p.m.
Thank you, Sam.
Good. So we sort of talked about this last week because there were two cases in the news about a mom leaving their children alone. One was a mom who left a 10-year-old home alone, a free-range homeschooled 10-year-old. She has been charged, and there was a lot of controversy over that. We had another mom who ordered a 12-year-old out of the car over bad grades on the side of an interstate. Both of the moms in that case that I just mentioned were charged. Two moms, two charges. And then over the weekend, we heard there is another case involving two children, and it is much, much closer to home. And there has been a conviction in this case. And I needed some time, really before today's show, Scott, to like for us to wrap our heads around the facts of the case. Like, what really happened in this case? Mm-hmm. We know that two children were home alone, and there were injuries in this case in a way that we did not see injuries in the two headline-grabbing cases last week. Right. There were injuries in this case. And so we reached out to the prosecutor's office, said, what is going on here? Mm-hmm. Like, why did the mom leave these kids home alone? What we know more. We know the ages of the children.
Leavenworth County.
It is in Leavenworth County. And I'm curious what our listeners are going to say about this one. But we did reach out to the Leavenworth County District Attorney. He can't talk about all of the facts of the case because sentencing has not happened yet. But enough that we can get the conversation started.
Okay. We will visit with him, Todd Thompson, the Leavenworth County DA, in just a moment here on Dana and Parks. So we rarely do this, but we haven't found a story about it anywhere else. And this was happening. The release was issued during the body of our show today, so we haven't had time to write our own. But it's from the Leavenworth County Prosecutor's Office, and I'll just read it as it's written. A 57-year-old Leavenworth woman has been convicted of charges related to an incident in which two children suffered frostbite on a frigid, snowy evening. On Friday of last week, Debbie Schmidt was convicted on two counts of aggravated endangering a child after entering a no-contest plea. Schmidt left two children, ages 6 and 7, unattended at her residence in Leavenworth on January 16, 2024. The children became fearful because they were alone during the evening, so they left and walked approximately 5 blocks to a family member's home. The temperature was below 10 degrees, and a significant amount of snow was on the ground during their walk. Both children were found to have suffered frostbite on their feet. A sentencing hearing is scheduled for December 20th. And Leavenworth County Prosecutor Todd Thompson joining us on the KMBZ hotline. Mr. Thompson, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me again.
I feel like there have been more of these stories, Todd, in the news lately. I don't know what is driving that or if prosecutors' offices are just doing a better job at bringing them to the attention of the people when they happen. But can you tell us essentially what happened in this case? And I do note that she is 57 years old. This was not a new mom. It's not someone in their 20s.
I'm sorry. She's not a mom. She was just a supervising adult. She was just watching the children.
Okay.
She was the mother of the children.
Supervising adult. But I guess the reason I bring up 57, because I feel like at 57 years old, you would know better.
You know, there's some factors into the case. There could have been some miscommunication where she thought someone else was going to be coming to see the children or whatnot, but she did leave without anyone supervising the children.
Got it.
Around about 6 o'clock on a January night, and you know, 6 o'clock right now, it's going to be 6 o'clock and it's going to be dark out. It was dark then. The children, were concerned and left the residence, and obviously the conditions weren't favorable to do something like that, obviously, because of the consequences. And that's why this was an aggravated endangering of a child, which is a count that, you know, any child under the age of 18 where the person supervising them or someone places them in a situation in which it can affect their life, body, or their health. And obviously these children were hurt due to being unsupervised.
Did they suffer any permanent damage?
No, my understanding is they're doing well at this point.
I looked up the weather for that night. On that time in our town, Todd, it was 9 degrees around 7 p.m. that evening. It fluctuated between 9 and 11 degrees that evening. So far, far below freezing temperatures. And I guess just, I don't know what the law says about leaving children home alone. I think most people would agree, the reasonable man standard being applied here, that 6 and 7 is too young.
Well, and you know what? For Missouri and Kansas and most of the states in the entire nation, there isn't really a law that says what the age is that they can be left alone. Kansas Children and Family Services has some recommendations, and this seems to go in line with kind of most therapists of children and people that, work with children a lot say. Basically, for 0 to 6, those children should never be left alone. Children from about 6 to 9 may be left alone for a short period of time. 9 to about 12 or 13 could be left a little bit longer than that. But if anyone's even considering that, then they need to kind of look into what type of child they have. Do they have a child that is intellectually capable of handling being alone? Are they mature? Are they able to handle responsibilities? Do they listen and mind? Do they have access and know how to access someone if there is an issue? Do they know the important phone numbers to call, their parents' phone numbers, another adult if they right. don't get an answer? And in doing that, what happens? Do they become emotionally fearful when they're left alone? I mean, if you have to think about in the child's perspective, when they're 6, they might, the supervising adult might think they're going out for a very short period of time or someone might be coming. And a child's perspective, this could be a very long time. This
Sure.
could seem like they're never coming back ever. And then they have this, I have to go find someone to take care of me. I'm very scared or something's going to happen. And so each parent, if they're going to leave their child, is going to have this type of evaluation. Again, if this wasn't a January, or again, I said a parent, but it could be a guardian or supervising adult. But each person who's going to leave a child alone needs to realize this and make that evaluation and even question and talk to the child of what they would do. You know, some children may be misbehave or do, like are known to do, write on the walls or run away or
right.
not be respectful. Those aren't the kids you're going to probably want to leave alone. And so, like I was saying, if this was a June day, and they left the house at 6, it probably still would have been sunny, and they would have been able to make it to their relatives' houses, which is where these children are trying to go, and we would have never, ever have heard about this case.
Todd, you keep referring to her as a supervising adult. Was she in any way related to the kids?
Yeah, she had a connection to the children.
Okay. Got it.
Are you at liberty to tell us where she went?
I believe that was part of the record. She was going to a medical appointment is what she had said. I have no way to disagree with that.
Okay. Because I can understand people, Todd, screaming in their cars, it doesn't matter where she was going. And I understand at age 6 and 7, you could say it doesn't matter. I do think there are shades of, we've seen the case where mom or guardian goes out to a bar, leaves a baby home alone. And there have been fatal cases, horrible local cases where things go south very quickly. So this wasn't a bar. She wasn't out joyriding. It was some sort of appointment. Not that I'm saying that's okay.
Again, I can only take it for face value. The main factors are that
yeah.
she left two children of that age alone without thinking about any of the normal responsibilities that all parents should or guardians or supervising adults should think about and yep. Are they capable and have the wherewithal to be able to maintain being alone and know what to do. Call someone if they're scared instead of leave, or go to the neighbors instead of, you know, five blocks. You know, those are all things that everybody in a situation, and I think 9 out of 10 times, if it wasn't the environment and all these things, we might not have seen a case, but that's still, and, you know, accidents might happen, but that's still, children need to be one of the most thought about things to care for over anything else, over any type of appointment.
Yeah.
You know?
Amen.
Todd, she's going to be sentenced on December 20th. Is she going to prison? Are you recommending that she go to prison?
I part of my position in ethics is we haven't got there. My more point is I just want other parents, other guardians, other supervising adults to really, when they're leaving their children, kind of go through these questionnaires, go through each one of those things to think about it. This yep. is more, I want to highlight, this is a cautionary tale, just like the other cases that you were discussing of, we need to think about the kids and the kids' safety first and what they're capable of doing before we leave a child or children home alone or any type of situation like that.
Let us know when the sentencing happens and we will update our listeners. And as always, we appreciate your time, Todd.
Sure, absolutely.
Leavenworth County Prosecutor Todd Thompson. Phone lines are open at 913-586-7798.
So if this is a relative with some connection to mom and or dad, at age 57, you can kind of figure out, we can narrow down probably the relationship between this person and the children. That is going to be one hell of an awkward Thanksgiving.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Can you pass the mashed potatoes? Sorry about the kids. It's going to be awkward.
How do your feet feel? I mean, you know.
Right.
Now, he had mentioned miscommunication, which happens all... I remember miscommunication when our kids were growing up. Wait, I thought you were grabbing them after work. Wait, what? Are you going to be... You know?
Yeah.
But, there still had to be a moment where she left the house to go to that appointment. Whatever that medical appointment was, there still had to be a moment. At 6 at night, I know, where she left the house to go to whatever this appointment was, knowing they were there alone. Even if she thought in 25 minutes, mom or dad or some relative is coming to get them, clearly no one checked. I mean, I don't know how long it takes a 6-year-old and a 7-year-old to walk 5 blocks, but long enough that frostbite set in on both of those kids' feet.
Why not take them with you? Get their shoes on, get them a coat, and let's go.
I don't know.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
So listen to this. An Independence man is behind bars after allegedly shooting at a local handyman. Not okay, right?
Never okay.
Court documents in Jackson County allege that 37-year-old Jason Kepler fired shots at a man who was hired as a handyman to help conclude an eviction process.
Here we go.
At a home in the 1200 block of Leote Street in Independence. According to the BC, Independence Police responded to the home Tuesday, November 12th, where the owner of a handyman service company and 3 additional employees reported the incident. There, the victim alleged Kepler arrived while he and other employees were completing yard work at the home, which the defendant had been evicted from on February 29th.
That's 9 months ago.
So help me with the timeline here. Police show up Tuesday, November 12th, where the handyman's being shot at.
Right. We could go tomorrow.
The defendant was evicted the very last day of February 2024.
That's so 9 months
8
ago.
Months and 2 weeks later, Kepler allegedly engaged in a verbal altercation with the man and said he still believed he was the owner of the home. After the business owner told Kepler to contact police if he had any issues being on the property, Kepler repositioned his vehicle and then heard a gunshot.
Anybody hurt? Or they just shoot at him?
Yeah, what Kepler did, according to court documents, is by, quote, repositioning his vehicle, he blocked him in. He blocked the handyman in, said, you're not going anywhere, and then is alleged to have fired shots at him. He is charged with felony unlawful use of a weapon and felony armed criminal action.
How about attempted murder?
Here's the other deal. These stories are in our stack all the time.
Yes, they are.
Sometimes it's someone out marking the property. Sometimes it's someone actually serving, which I do believe statistically the most dangerous time in that process is the day you show up knocking on the door saying, get out. This was 8 months later.
Yeah.
Handyman does not know the owner of this home or the renter or the background from Adam. He is just contracted out to go over and make repairs.
Correct.
Is this quickly becoming one of the most dangerous jobs you can have?
I think
to be anywhere around the eviction process.
Yes, quite frankly, yes. And I think most people would tell you that.
But as a handyman, what I'm saying is he's working for a handyman service company.
Yeah.
They tell him, look, we've got a new job that just came in. Go to this house on Leote Street in Independence. The yard's a mess. You know, we're getting ready to flip this thing.
He's not there to drag you out of the house.
No.
He's not with the sheriff's department or what are those workers called? There was one that was
The servers, the process servers.
Civil processor. Thank you. Yes. He's not a civil process server. They're not going to handcuff you and drag you out of the house because you're legally not allowed to live there anymore. I'm telling you, one of the biggest and I think Brenninger would agree with me, one of the biggest mistakes we ever made in our lives was getting into the landlord business.
I know.
Renting property. You couldn't pay me $1 million a year to get back into the landlord business because what you are is you're an adult babysitter. And the stories I could tell. Worst 3 years of my life.
And as a contracted handyman going over to do yard work, I'm not sure if he had a weapon or not. You certainly don't want a shootout out in front of the home.
No, you don't.
But the alleged gunman in this case blocked in the handyman's car and said, and I quote, according to court papers, you're not going anywhere.
Why would you even, if you're the ne'er-do-well renter.
Yeah.
Why would you even A, answer the door, B, come outside?
Well, but my guess is since he had been evicted 8 months prior,
Scott. But just because you evict, the way I read that, anybody who rents property will tell you one of the hardest things to do is evict someone. It can take
there,
months.
The victim alleged Kepler arrived while he and other employees were completing yard work at the home.
So they weren't even inside.
At the home, which the defendant was evicted from on February 29, 2024. That says to me he's out.
And what is he doing going back?
Because once you're evicted, you don't get to bounce back and forth over the period of 8 months.
Once you're
evicted, you are evicted.
That's not technically true. You begin the eviction process.
Which is typically a six-month process.
It can run six, because you've heard that there's a renter's advocacy group here in Kansas City. I don't remember their name.
Casey Tenets.
Is it Casey Tenets? Okay, thank you. And what they do is they defend, you know, they represent people who rent property. And I don't mean necessarily legally, but they have their interest at heart.
And they helped unionize the two groups who are striking against their landlords right now.
Yes. And whether rightly or wrongly, I don't know. I never had to evict somebody. I told somebody I didn't want them living there anymore. And they agreed and just packed up their stuff and left. I didn't have to go through the tedious, painstaking process of the actual eviction process because they get to defend themselves. You have to prove that they're not paying rent or they're not keeping the house up.
If you do work on a home, for any reason, you are a contracted employee, whether that's HVAC, roof repair, yard work, handyman service, what percentage of the time do you know you are going to a property that where someone has been evicted? If you are contracted out, I bet you that number is low, Scott.
I bet you're right.
Low.
I bet you're right. I would just assume that the home I'm going to, unless it's like in Mission Hills or something.
Well, but, you know, even then, I don't know that I would trust. In fact, even then, it might, could be even worse.
Yeah.
The more you have to lose that you have lost.
If you're a handyman that's working on behalf of a landlord and that's your main contractor, you know that as since they are a landlord, a lot of these properties that you're working with are places that somebody's been kicked out of.
Yeah. Listen to this sentence, Sam. Kepler allegedly engaged. Kepler is the suspect. Allegedly engaged in a verbal altercation with the man and said he still believed he was the owner of the home.
See, that tells me he had not been kicked out of the house yet.
After the business owner told Kepler, the business owner, meaning the handyman company business owner,
right,
told Kepler to contact police if he had any issues with them being on property, Kepler repositioned his vehicle and said, now you're not going anywhere.
See, all of the things that he allegedly said and allegedly did ring to me like somebody who's still living in that house and knows that the clock is ticking and is not willing
okay.
to leave it. You and see what I'm saying?
Yeah, because it sounds like the business owner told the suspect, if you got a problem with my guys out there fixing this place up now that you've been evicted, call police. I'm not going to deal with it.
And thinking he still owned the house means that the bank foreclosed on him. They started the eviction process and probably...
It's possible. Well, we're spitballing here now.
I mean, completely spitballing. But why would he... Why would they be at the house doing work if they hadn't cleared it yet?
He's currently being held on a $100,000 bond. And by the way, there was a bullet hole in the victim's 2020... large man truck, one of those huge, the kind that a contractor would drive.
Sure.
F-350.
913. Yeah. We'd love to hear from those of you who are in the landlord business. 913-586.
The eviction business, man. I'm telling you, I don't know.
Right.
Do we just start taking police officers with us everywhere? And then, okay, they did that in Independence.
Right. But don't
and two people were shot and killed.
Don't a lot of times when you're and I've never been evicted, thank God, knock on wood. But when you're evicted, doesn't the sheriff's department normally go with the processor who's going up to the door just in case? I mean, you never catch anybody on their best day when they're getting evicted. And for what you know, you don't know if they're going to be violent or not. 913-586-7798, 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Police in Independence say a handyman who had gone to do some yard work at a home in Independence was shot at when either the person who used to live at that house or who does still live at that house and who apparently has been evicted wasn't too happy to see the handyman there. And we were just talking about the dangers of dealing with some people, and certainly not all, some people who are in the process of being evicted or who are evicted. Ashley in Overland Park. Hi.
Hi. I am kind of on the front end. I work for companies that are contracted through mortgage companies to verify occupancy and condition of homes going through foreclosures.
Yeah.
And I have been robbed at gunpoint. I have been followed. I have had people let me take pictures of my license plate and then tell me they're going to come to my house.
Wow.
Okay, how long do you have to be there? I hate that you work alone if you work alone.
I do.
And I hope that you called police after it happened.
Oh, yeah, and the guy actually was sentenced to, he was looking at 25 years, but pled guilty for 7 years.
Wow. Now, tell me again what kind of business you're in. You go to the homes in the beginning.
I do inspections on homes that are going into foreclosure, vacant properties, bankruptcy properties, and I go out to verify condition and occupancy of the property.
So they're not always vacant?
No. I've also been sent to homes to do interior inspections and I have a set of keys that pretty much gets me into any of the houses I need to go into, and I walked in while somebody was sitting on their couch watching TV.
Oh, God. Ugh.
Yeah.
That has to be scary.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Wow. Ashley, thank you for the call. And be safe, please.
We're going to end on a good note. The most stunning, multicolored, vivid, insane rainbow.
Yeah, we're getting texts about it right
has
now.
Has just appeared, and I don't know where you're... Oh,
whoa,
Sam, it's a double rainbow.
All the way. Double rainbow. Oh, my God. It's a double rainbow all the way. Whoa, that's so intense. Whoa, man. Wow. Whoa. 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 Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Sounds like something else is going on.
Oh, my God. Whoa. Oh, my God. Look at that. It's starting to even look like a triple rainbow. Oh my God, it's full on. Double rainbow all the way across the sky. Oh my God.
He's now crying.
Oh my God. Oh. You know, he went on one of the late night shows.
Swears he was not
stone
high.
Sober. I think sadly he has passed away.
Oh, really?
I am almost positive he has passed away.
That video is 14 years old.
Yeah, he has brought so many people just so much joy. What does it mean?
What does it mean? Dang, he stole the words.
What does this mean?
My phone just bloop. If you've seen it, here's Carrie. Now Carrie is weighing in. Look where Carrie is.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It is a full on.
Oh my God!
Double rainbow.
Yeah,
all the way across the sky.
Paul Vasquez, and he died in 2020.
I hate to keep bringing this up. Look at the color, Scott. I just posted my pictures, and I'm telling everyone post your pictures. This is no filter. It is the most red, yellow, and blue I have ever seen in a wide band.
Are those primary colors?
Clearly defined rainbow.
Roy G. Biv.
Sam, it's on my Facebook page if you want to look at it. I mean, this one, you can see it from here. It's enormous.
Oh, my God. What does it mean?
Oh, it's so pretty.
When he did die, he had COVID, but they're not sure if that's what killed him.
My person just said that is the brightest I have ever seen a rainbow.
I'm going to go look out the window here in just a second and see if we can see it from here.
Well, I hope that guy is in a resting place with a double rainbow over him at all times.
Or a triple rainbow.
Absolutely.
It's starting to look like a triple rainbow.
What does it mean?
Oh. It means everything.
What a gift. What a gift, man.
News with Dan Weinbaum is coming your way in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.